Hello and welcome everyone to Leaders in Elder Care, the interview series designed to share with you some of the many things people are doing to change the face of elder care. I'm Ryan Malone. I'm the founder of Inside Elder Care and your host for Leaders in Elder Care today. Before we start, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to the podcast. You can do so in two ways. The first is going to leadersineldercare.com and clicking on subscribe in the top right-hand corner of the screen, or through iTunes by searching for Leaders in Elder Care and clicking the subscribe button. Let's go ahead and get started. Joining us today is Phil Parker. Phil is the author of Grandpa Does Grandma, The ABCs of Senior Sex. Phil's other book, Kiss Yourself Hello, A Journey from a Life of Business to the Business of Life, encourages individuals to evaluate where they are in their personal and professional lives. And what a fantastic background Phil has. Phil served his country as a naval officer. He socialized at the White House and has been a world-class photographer, Gold Gloves boxer, collegiate golfer, coached soccer, basketball, and Little League. And with what little time he had left, he was a volunteer fireman. So Phil's going to be a fun interview. I hope everybody's looking forward to it. And let's go ahead and get going. How are you doing today, Phil?
I'm doing well, Ryan. And thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate what you just said about me. I'm not sure that that's the same person.
Well, I guess everybody's going to find out, huh?
I hope so.
So, let's jump right in. So, what is Grandpa Does Grandma?
Well, Grandpa Does Grandma, The ABCs of Senior Sex, was a book I wrote because of several reasons. The first reason was I was at a local bookstore one day, and a young gal behind the Starbucks counter asked me how old I was. And when I told her I was about to be 70, she said, "Now that I can't have sex anymore, what do I do for excitement?" So that got me thinking. And the other reason I wrote the book is I wanted to call attention to the senior community, because I think the young people of today don't realize that as we age and as we become seniors, that we still enjoy intimacy and we're still very sexual. So I wanted to dispel that myth as well, and also call attention to the rise in STDs in the senior community and AIDS as well.
Okay, great. So tell me, walk for the readers that don't have the book in front of them, obviously. You know, walk us through, you know, what the flow of the book entails.
Well, the flow of the book was written, each chapter has its own letter, hence the ABCs of senior sex. And each chapter addresses something a little different about senior sex and sexuality. And also, as I was writing the book and I was getting kind of dirty looks from Grandma, I decided I would have to write the book from two points of view, because I began to realize that the male point of view on intimacy and sexuality is quite different than the female point of view. So each chapter has the male side and then what I call on the softer side, which was written from a female point of view.
And I think that if you told me once, that was contributed or written by Grandma, right?
Well, let's just say she was covering my back.
You talk about having a funny look. So I got your book to prepare for the interview, and I was reading it at lunch the other day, and I was at a Greek restaurant at like the height of rush hour, and I had my feet up on the chair, and you know, the cover of the book, which you know, the people that are looking at, that are listening to the show, you know, you'll see a copy of it on the blog post, is some sheets with two pairs of feet, one with nail polish sticking out. The looks that I got from folks walking by were just classic. So I think I was enjoying that as much as I was enjoying reading the book. But
if I didn't make the cover in your face a little bit, then people perhaps wouldn't pick up the book. So I wanted it to be somewhat controversial, although it's not really a book about sex. It's more a book about relationships and intimacy and how we keep our relationships together as we grow older.
So what do you, as people are reading the book, you know, what are the takeaways that you want in two audiences, really? So there's you know, an older audience, which obviously it's a direct fit for, but there's a younger audience too. What are the, you know, kind of high level takeaways that you want those two audiences to get?
Well, I wanted to dispel some of the senior myths about sex and sexuality. For example, a lot of people think that sex in your 60s is like a romance novel. Well, sex when you're 20 or 25 may be like a romance novel, but I can assure you when you're in your 60s and 70, it's not quite like a romance novel. There's not beautiful music playing and the sun's not necessarily going down. Nonetheless, that being said, the sexuality and the intimacy can certainly be much more rewarding as you get older. One of the other things I dispelled in there, that men don't take directions. You've heard it, and you know that all the women say men just don't take directions. Well, we may not take directions in the car, but I can assure you in bed, it's probably the one place where men will take directions.
That's fantastic. So, and then what about for young folks? What's the takeaway that young folks might need?
Well, the young folks, I want to give young folks hope to know that as they get older, that their sexuality and intimacy increases with age rather than diminishes with age. You know, when you're young, and believe it or not, I was young once too, and had all my girlfriends in high school and sit in the back of movie theaters and neck and do those kinds of things. You know, sex in those years is certainly exciting and it's certainly romantic. But as we get older and as we build permanent relationships with a partner or a spouse, we begin to understand that really knowing each other, getting to know each other, and spending time with each other is what really builds a relationship. And when you build a relationship in that manner, then the sexuality and the intimacy increases as well. So I just wanted to let young people know that just because they're going to be 30 and 40 and 50 and 60, that they can still enjoy sex and intimacy with their partner.
I got to ask, how did you get the name?
It's interesting how I got the name. I actually got the name on a riverboat on the Yangtze River in China. I was doing a focus group. And the original title was simply going to be The ABCs of Senior Sex, The Alphabet You Never Learned in School. When a young lady in the focus group said, no, I have a better title than that. You need to be a little bit more out there with it. And she came up with Grandpa Does Grandma. So hence the title, Grandpa Does Grandma, The ABCs of Senior Sex.
That's awesome. So you never told me about the focus group. What were you doing in China for a focus group?
Well, actually, my wife and I were just traveling in China on somewhat a vacation. And when we found ourselves on the Yangtze River on a riverboat for 5 nights, and I was still in the throes of writing the book, we decided to ask people, complete strangers, I might add, from all over the United States, if they'd like to be in a focus group. And at first, when they found out what the book was about, they all said, no, 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 please don't count us in. But as we got to talking, and they began to realize it wasn't a book about sex,
right,
it was more a book about relationships, they all agreed to be in it. We did several focus groups on the boat and got a lot of good ideas. And I must say that the women were a lot more outspoken than the men.
Really? So are there any comments that are shareable that you remember?
Well, I don't think I can share any of the comments because basically the women had names for everything, if you know what I mean. I don't think it'll be shareable for your listening audience.
Yeah, that's probably
a little bit too much information, as they say, TMI.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think that acronym is universally known regardless of age.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when these women, some of whom were single and most of whom were married or with a partner, came out with these acronyms and names for things, the husbands were just absolutely shocked. I mean, you could just see it in their face. They obviously didn't know their wives that well.
That's funny. So what, you know, as you wrote the book, and I'm flipping through it as we're talking now, and, you know, for everybody out there, you know, if you want to see just fantastic illustrations, and they're not, you know, I'm not trying to say that they're racy, but they're just great, and they fit with the tone of the book that Phil's put together. Go to the bookstore and check it out, because they're great. But what are some of the challenges that you faced personally when you were writing the book? Were there any hurdles that you had to kind of either get around or get over in terms of expressing all this?
Well, you know, I have 4 kids, for one thing. So when you're writing a book about sex and you're in your 70s, your children kind of look at you with disdain. But when they began to realize what the book was about, and it wasn't, you know, like I said earlier, a book just about sex, they began to become very encouraging. And now they think the book's the greatest thing since sliced bread. The other thing was that when you write a book like that, you begin to look at your own relationship. So it became an introspective look at my relationship with my wife, i.e. grandma,
mm-hmm.
and how we conduct that. And we have a wonderful relationship. And I always tell people that we depend on each other, but we're not dependent on each other.
Yeah.
So we know that we're there for each other, but we also have our own interests separate from our mutual interests. Grandma runs a big business, and she's a networking guru, and she's into cowboy boots and things of that nature. And Grandpa, i.e. me, I'm a drummer on the side, and I have a photography studio in my home where I do a lot of portrait work. So we have varied interests, but we are there for each other when we're needed. And I think that's important in any relationship, regardless of how old or how young you are. It's called commitment, integrity, trust, whatever you want to call it. If you don't have trust in a relationship, then really you don't have a relationship. And
that's
so those are the things
true.
That you discover, you know, as you're writing a book. You have to take a look at yourself first. Certainly can't write a book about senior sex and relationships if you don't take a look at your own and make sure that it's congruent with what you're writing.
Yeah, you know, I think your message about integrity and whatnot is, I've been married 3 years, so I think it resonates with everybody of all ages. What, you know, when I read it, most books that cover this topic, they're really sterile, because it seems like the writer is either afraid to just jump in with both feet, or that, you know, that the writer's just not really fun and they have a hard time expressing things in a way that are entertaining. But you seem to strike a pretty good balance between something that was easy to read, educational, and was lighthearted enough to where, you know, even I'm 37, right? So that I, you know, was just finding myself wanting to go to the next page. Was that intentional? Is that a writing style? Is that something that you found in the focus group? What was the reason for that?
I think it's all of the above, but what I think it's just a reflection of how I've lived my own life, and it's a reflection of my relationship with my wife. We have a very open relationship. We're honest with each other. We trust each other. We love to spend time with each other. We constantly leave notes for each other. As a matter of fact, I think in the book, I'm not sure what page it is, but I've shared some of the notes that I've left for Grandma over the years. One of them says, "I give you all my love freely because it's mine to give and I want you to have it." I think that says a lot.
Page 48.
Page 48, right, in the book. Well, most of the listeners don't have the book, but, you know, it says, "Our love will grow in all kinds of weather as long as you and I are together." And I think that kind of commitment to any relationship, you don't have to be 70 or, you know, over 50. I think any relationship, the challenge is when you're in your teens and in your younger years, I don't think you get it as much as when you get older and you get married and then you have children. Things begin to change. And I would say that most of the time things change for the better. There are always some bumps along the road,
mm-hmm.
but we get over them. But relationships, particularly as we get older, you know, as we get older and our families, we start losing friends and family to death or illness or whatever, it's important that we maintain our relationship with the one person that we love, because that's the person that's going to carry us through the tough times.
You know, it must have been, you know, I'm looking through the other notes that you left, and I think it's really cool that you kept them all. And B, it must have been a really fun experience to go back and look through all those things to put them in the book.
Well, it is. I keep them all. There's hundreds of them. I only put certain ones in the book. One of them I wrote to Grandma. I think I said I'd crawl naked over a bed of broken glass to get to you.
"Hey, Ryan, this is Grandma. Don't believe him for a minute. I tried it, and he said you can't be serious. You really expect me to crawl across that?"
Hey, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Ryan. I've been listening and enjoying it. And, you know, it's kind of fun to be married to a real young spirit. And I think that was sort of the question that you just previously asked, Phil. You know, how is it that appeals to a younger reader as well as an older reader? And I think that that's just who Phil is. I think chronologically he's 7, but he's young at heart, and he's always looking to entertain and to enlighten and to share. And I appreciate that you kind of pick that up in his style and in his way of communicating through words. I applaud you for that, because others have recognized it, and he's done other interviews, and that hasn't come up as such an integral part of who he is. So thank you for that.
Ah, my pleasure. It's one of the he and I have kind of similar writing styles. But the reason I mentioned it is because I was actually digging through like a bunch of stuff. It was, you know, that you have that box that just kind of follows you forever, and I found like a note that I faxed to like a high school girlfriend on a fax machine or something. This was like maybe a week ago. And
that shows how young you are, because when I
because of the fax machine.
Fax machine.
I dated myself, darn it. But no, I mean, I think that's really cool, and it's the fact that it's carried on so long is really neat. So now that you're on the phone, I get to ask you a couple questions. What you know, you're in you know, obviously your spirit is in every single page of this book. The softer side stuff, I think Phil probably didn't give you enough credit for, but what was the challenge that you got out of this, being, you know, being married to the writer and trying to balance the female side of the message?
Well, I think it was really important for both of us that there is a balance, you know, because it was never designed to be a, quote, a sex book. It was never designed to be so edgy that others would be embarrassed, uncomfortable, or not want to pass it along as a good read. So I think with both of us, my helping him on the softer side, I was able to really, just as Phil said, he needed to be introspective to really get a handle on who he is and what his participatory role is in our relationship. It also made me realize that by his writing a softer side, he was really addressing a woman's point of view. And I took that as a compliment in a way, because he knows what pleases me and he knows what a woman needs, i.e. me, in order to feel satisfied in our relationship. And I like the idea that he could express about that through the relationship we have to get the reader to better understand why it takes both points of view, a male point of view and a female point of view, to be able to have a relationship work.
Oh, that's very interesting. So where do you go from here? The book's generally available, yeah?
The book is available. Best place to get the book right now, Ryan, is on the website, grandpadoesgrandma.com, because that way I can personalize it to whoever is buying it. They get my little personal note, which is usually a zinger, but nonetheless signed by me.
I have no doubt.
So that's the best place to get it. It will eventually show up in the bookstores. I've been a little hesitant to put it in the bookstores right away. We're trying to do some publicity with some major TV shows, et cetera.
Well, you know, having it in front of me, first of all, I appreciate you sending it to me. I think it's really neat. And, Grandma, I don't know if you heard, but I was telling Phil that we had a barbecue at my house this weekend, and my in-laws were over, and they were loving it. They're maybe 60. Their friends are, you know, anywhere between, you know, 55 and 65. So it was a big hit with them. So if you consider that a, you know, kind of unprompted focus group, they really liked it.
Well, when you see your in-laws again, the way to read the book is the man reads the male point of view. The woman reads the male point of view, and the male reads the female point of view, and then they have a little discussion. And if discussion goes well, they can usually have some sex after that.
And if it goes bad?
Well, if it goes bad, then
read
I can't predict.
We've heard from couples that that's what they're doing. A woman is becoming a little bit more enlightened about really what pleases a man and what turns him on. And then a man is really geared into, hey, if I have a more softer, more loving approach to my partner or my spouse, there's a good chance that I will in return get what I need out of our intimate relationship. So I think that's pretty cool, actually.
So let me ask, so this is a complete generation gap question. So do you find that that the target audience, you know, folks around your own age, are more timid about those kind of issues, and that the book helps open that up? I don't know, right? I'm not even close to that age, but I was just curious if you see that as kind of a complementary benefit for the folks that are reading it.
Well, let me answer that. I think that the older generation, that is the baby boomer generation, okay, and all of us that are now turning 64 and 65, I think what they get out of the book is the fact that they can still enjoy intimacy and sexuality with their partner, and they can still laugh and they can still have fun, because fun and laughter doesn't make any difference what age you are. i.e. myself, who's 70, and I laugh at everything. And I think the younger generation can read it and say, you know what, I didn't realize that as I get older, maybe my relationships are going to be better. You said earlier you were married 3 years.
Yep.
Is that right?
She's my best friend. I love her to death, and I only hope that our marriage is as good as what it sounds like yours is. But we're off to a fantastic start. So.
Yeah, right. And what I was going to say was when you read the book and you see that there's what the older generation is doing and how we're trying to conduct our lives, then you realize that as you get older, maybe leaving notes, for example. You read in the book that I leave notes, so maybe you say to yourself, maybe I should leave notes for my wife. I mean, my wife leaves me notes in the refrigerator.
Well, he doesn't tell you. They're not loving. It's under a Coke can, and when he picks it up, it says, I think you could come up with a better choice.
Well, first of all, let me tell just real quickly, Grandma's been a vegetarian for 35 years, and Grandpa's a meat-eating, carnivorous person. So when Grandma goes away, she knows I'm sneaking hot dogs and steaks into the house.
As you
so
should.
She leaves me notes in the grill. You shouldn't be cooking this steak just because I'm out of town.
That's funny. So where can people get more information on the book, on yourselves?
As I said, Ryan, have them go to the website. There's also a free gift on the website, which is about a 20-page e-book that dispels the myths of senior sex. And they get that for free. And then if they are so inclined, they can order the book, and then I can personalize it. So that's really the best place to get it. One of these days, you're probably going to see Graham and I in some major television show, and then I won't talk to you anymore. No, I'm only kidding.
Well, that's why I wanted to do the interview early.
Yeah, no. Get me when I'm not famous, right?
All right. Well, thank you so much for everything, and thanks for being on the show. It's really a pleasure having you, and we appreciate both of you being leaders in elder care.
Do I have time to say one thing?
You have time to say whatever you want.
I just want to let everybody know that those people, the baby boomers, are part of the V generation. That's V as in Victor. And I'm often asked, what is the V generation? And just in case you don't know, Ryan, it's for vitamins, Viagra, and vibrators. And that's what happens when you get older.
That's a great way to end it.
And with that, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Hey, Ryan, thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
I think it's great that you have such a wonderful relationship with your in-laws that you could be open to share that book. I think it says a lot for you and your wife. So congratulations on that.
Thanks. She's my wife. I'll plug her for a second. She's actually fantastic, the dream of my life, and her parents and family are really cool. So I am very lucky.
You are a lucky man.
You all are. Take care, Ryan. I wish you the best.
Okay, so for our listeners out there, reminder, be sure to check out two websites, Inside Elder Care, a by families, for families approach to helping families deal with elder care issues. It's available at www.insideeldercare.com. And Portrait of Our Parents, which is a storytelling website designed to let you share those little brilliant memories of your elder family members or friends. It's available at portraitofourparents.com. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Have a great day, and we hope you come back and listen soon.